Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, is there a disconnect between leadership and the young players on the Cowboys? We'll take a look at that topic and several more here as we take our daily look at Cowboys Twitter. Top tweets going viral about America's team as we broadcast here from our performance showroom, the Balcones Open House. Come on by, sample some Balcones, maybe win a prize. We want to say hi to Antonio. You won the big green egg. And he was here up until last hour, I think. I think he took a tour. And then didn't make it on back. But you don't have to be present to win.
He still wins. Antonio Dillard, you won the big green egg. Congratulations. And we draw for a winner of something every hour. So the one that we just drew for is four pair of opening week tickets to the new ballpark.
Four pairs. Wow.
At least that's what I was told. If it's wrong, punch me in the face. It might be a four pack. But that is Benjamin Morales. You have won that. But we'll be doing a drawing.
Congrats,
every
Ben.
Hour. Hey, and he's here. Yes.
Hey, it could be a four-pack, but if it's a four-pair, you also get to punch Jeff.
Yeah. Well, no, if it's a four-pack, you punch me. If it's four pairs, no punch. Then you're winning. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So
let's get that
good.
Clear before any punching happens.
Yeah, you can punch me anyway. But, we're going to doing giveaways every hour, 4131 North Central Expressway in Dallas. Get up here.
I hope the roof's open for opening day.
Yeah, better be. Yeah, be nice.
So it'll be hot.
Who knows?
It's usually 60 to 75 degrees for opening day.
You get a little storm in there though. They might have.
Well,
to close
yeah.
It.
Yep. If that's the case, then that makes it awesome.
Oh yeah.
And when
wouldn't
it becomes 80 degrees or more, I get it. Close it up. But I think if you're in that 60 to 79 range outside,
yeah,
keep that sucker open.
I propose a rolling open or closed temperature, because early on 82 hot. By the time we get to August 15th, 80 feels nice. Let's kick it up to 87 or something.
September baseball, you're like, hey, a cold front came in, and we're in the low 80s. We're like, hey, let's open it up.
Feels nice, yeah. Might need a jacket.
I think on May 1st, you can close it and go ahead and super glue it. Leave it shut.
All right.
That's what I think.
Hey, you know what? Who am I to say? I'm
who
always complaining
you?
About the weather. Yeah. Okay, let's take a look at Cowboys Twitter here. Clarence Hill Jr., Star Telegram, he tweeted a link to his story. Dallas Cowboys need a quick spark to save the season. Could this be the missing link? And the this he's talking about is the L word. Leadership.
Oh.
And inside the story, per an NFL Network report, there's a disconnect between new leadership and the young players on the Cowboys that's exacerbated by 16-year vet tight end Jason Witten taking a step back in his return to the team after a year away in retirement.
Oh, we want more from Witten.
Yeah.
Okay.
Apparently, I mean, the way that reads to me is the young guys on the team don't like being led by the other young guys. Is that what it's saying? There's a disconnect between the new leadership and the young players on the Cowboys? Because the new leaders are young.
The way that I hear that is the older guys who have been leaders took a step back to say, hey, like Sean Lee's like, hey, I gotta hand this off to Jalen and Leighton. And Witten comes back and he says, look, I'm not going to step on toes because they did go 10-6 and won a playoff game. So Dak and whoever it is, Ezekiel Elliott, I'm going to take a step back. And the veteran guys are looking at the younger guy saying, we took a step back and you guys stink at this. Without saying it, without like going and saying, I got to take over again because you guys aren't doing a good job. I think a lot of the guys are just in there like, whoa, like we've given you guys more responsibility and we're watching you guys flush it down the toilet.
And it sounds like maybe there's the young guys are looking like that too. Like they're looking at the leaders and going,
they're like, wow, okay, so there's no, I mean, I guess it can be great if you feel like there's no responsibility. You're like, man, I screwed up pretty bad on special teams. Nobody seems to care. This ain't that bad.
I mean, elementary and junior high school was amazing when there was a substitute teacher.
I know. That's how I feel. I bet a lot of the players that are making mistakes and they thought that they were going to get disciplined by their peers and then they didn't get disciplined, they're kind of like, oh,
okay,
all right. Well, I mean, I did bad. I hope I do better, but there's really no consequence here from my peers of doing bad.
More on this topic a little bit later on here as Cowboys Twitter continues here on the ground floor, 75 and Fitzhugh. We're at 4131 North Central Expressway if you want to swing on by. Maybe you're out shopping already. You know, you're off early for the holidays. We got one more week of work before our holidays start.
I had to quickly go shopping. North Park Mall is busy today.
I can imagine.
Why would you go to the mall?
Well, I had to go to Peloton, which I could have ordered online, but I wanted to get it immediately.
Peloton?
Yes. It's great. Got another one. So I could ride two at the same time. No, my heart monitor broke. My heart monitor strap broke, and I like having my heart monitor on the screen, so I had to go get a new heart monitor.
Oh, you couldn't get enough points when you were racing against people? It didn't know your heart rate?
No, I'm working hard. The points are over on the right. My heart monitor's on the left.
Oh, we go to the Twitter account of Blogging the Boys. They tweet a story, getting some knowledge from a Rams expert. The biggest takeaway, the Rams around midseason were down to one of their week one offensive line starters. They plug in, Mike, you're going to love this. The LA Rams since then have plugged in three backups. One dude who got kicked to the curb by the Cleveland Browns. Like, you can't even be on this team. Rams said, you're starting.
And you said the Browns are bad at blocking, so they weren't picking up somebody that had a plethora of great blockers.
Yeah, the Rams offensive line is still really bad.
Okay.
But they're making it work.
They've been playing better.
Right.
They've been playing significantly better than what they were. And, you know, the defense obviously has rallied. So two different Rams, the beginning of the year Rams that were bad, and then since then been better. And that's, you know, not what you want to be hearing right here as you're trying to pick up momentum. I think if there's a chance, if you win three in a row going in, at least the confidence on your team is going to be much higher. And that's real. You might get whacked as soon as you get against a good team. But if you could just beat a quality opponent and then look good against the Eagles and Washington, at least confidence is on your side now.
I'm with you. They're faking and they're, you know, lying is too hard of a word. But they're faking when they're like, we're confident. All right, we got all the talent in the world. We're still great. In this room. No, they're not. Yeah. They are talking to each other. They're closest friends. I've been on teams like this. And they're like, we stink. Yeah. You know, or I can't believe this guy or this group of guys is this bad. Do they even care? So if they just beat Philadelphia and Washington,
nothing.
It might quiet the complaining, but they won't feel confident because they knew they beat two really bad teams. But if they beat the Rams and then they beat the Eagles and the Redskins, I think guys will start talking more positive amongst each other and with their friends about maybe a turnaround and being able to do something in the playoffs.
Elsewhere on Cowboys Twitter, a Dak quote is making the rounds. As you know, this is the first for the Cowboys ever where they're going to have a 4,000-yard passer, a 1,000-yard rusher, and two 1,000-yard receivers. And he was asked, what's it mean? And he says, well, it shows the talent we have, the potential, and we can be productive when we're doing the right thing and we're in the right spot. It takes everybody. Those numbers are good. But when you're not winning games, they don't matter. I think that's really the topic of conversation. It's got to be amongst players. Like, how could we have all this good and it's not adding up? Like, what the crap, dude?
And then they gaze across the locker room at the defense and go, what's up, guys?
Yeah. You know, I was listening to Sean this morning, and he gave this stat. 60% of the Cowboys' points are scored in blowouts.
Wow.
So they are scoring either they're up by 17 points late, you know, early on in the year, or they're getting blown out by whoever it is, Green Bay, you know, Chicago, and they score a touchdown later, a couple touchdowns like against the Green Bay Packers. So they do have awesome numbers. You can't take that away, but a lot
60%.
More than 50% of their scores are when the game is considered out of hand and scoring doesn't really affect the outcome.
Okay, elsewhere on Cowboys Twitter, you have Amari Cooper on Jalen Ramsey and Jalen Ramsey on Amari Cooper here. We'll start with the wide receiver on the corner. Ramsey's pretty good, said Amari. He's long, he's fast, he has all the intangible things that you want in a corner. It's going to be a challenge. Lindsay Theory tweeted Jalen Ramsey's response. In my opinion, I think he's one of the most underrated receivers in the league. So a mutual admiration society happening on the outside here this weekend.
I had never heard Jalen Ramsey be complimentary of a receiver before. And I listened to that whole thing. He went on for like a minute and a half talking about Amari Cooper. And he was like, I remember when we played him, he was like, the stat sheet says I held him to like one catch for 4 yards. So people think that, you know, I won the matchup. And he was like, he tore me up all day. And he was like, thankfully they were throwing at the other guy. He was like, but I'm telling you, off the line. And like, he was like, he torched me all day.
Well, we asked Stephen Jones again today, and I don't know if the story's going to come out after the season. Maybe there's one of those, you know, they seem sensitive about medical information. So maybe there's something there, or maybe Amari's just not playing well, or they don't want to mention because to tip off the defense but he's different, right?
There has to be something when he has a jacket on the sidelines and you're not going to put him in for a whole series, no matter the series is 3 plays or 13 plays, that Amari Cooper is just going to sit there for the whole series no matter what?
Yeah, what's it look like to you, Jeff? You got a keen eye for a wide receiver.
I don't feel like he's healthy, and I feel like it's just a combination of things that don't feel good, but he knows he can play through them. So, what have we heard about? A foot, an ankle, a knee? Am I missing anything? I just don't think that he feels real good on any Sunday. But it's like, hey, I can play, and I can still – and he's still – what is his last 2 games? I can still get you 85 yards each time out here and score every other week. So what do you want to do? Do you want me to sit? I wouldn't be surprised if when it's off-season time we hear, hey, Amari Cooper had something done, and he'll be ready to exercise in a few weeks.
Okay, elsewhere on Cowboys Twitter here, where are we going next? Oh, to the account of Jane Slater. She was chatting with the Rams and safety Eric Weddle, who was with the Chargers, and then he was with the Ravens, and now he's with the Rams. And he said the humiliation they suffered at home to the Ravens was a turning point in the season. When I asked who rallied the team, did any players stand up? Nope. It was their coach, Sean McVay. I tell you what, humiliation is a very, very powerful motivator. I haven't said it on the air in a couple of years, but my fiance loves to watch those serial killer shows. And I tell you what, almost all of them were humiliated as children constantly. It became an incredible motivator. Now, their outlet, their way they scratch that itch, unfortunately, is oftentimes by killing women that remind them of their mom. You know what I'm saying? But that humiliation.
And you're saying that's wrong.
Yes, that's wrong. Okay. That's wrong. But you got to tap into the humiliation a little bit.
Right.
You want to just tap the humiliation and just let it kind of bleed out, just a couple of spurts. You don't want to open it wide open and get an IV of humiliation going in.
And then you want to point it in the proper direction.
Yes.
Right? You
want to
fuel it a little bit.
You know,
point it that way.
Let it drop out. Let the social media swarm. Let the TV cameras come around and talk to the guy whose problem it was. So that guy can go home and lose sleep. You know what I'm saying? Really reevaluate everything and then show up early. He's knocking on the door, the front door, because that's what humiliation does to you, right?
How many Cowboys do you think have ever felt humiliated this year?
I don't know if any of them have this year.
I don't either.
No.
Well, the last one that we thought would be humiliated said he was going to sleep well after kicking the ball good.
Hit him really well when I kicked that ball out of bounds. I hit it well.
I feel bad for guys when they screw up. I really, really do. But guess what? It's life. We all screw up, right? And you gotta if you're gonna correct it, you're gonna inspire guys, you have to be very, very comfortable talking to them and explaining to them in a way that will leave them motivated to make it better.
I'll tell you one of the times that I felt better, and it was when Brian Sanchez, who had a little bit of a major league career, he comes up to me after he had a tough relief appearance and gave up the lead and lost the game, and he goes, Mike, I couldn't sleep at all last night, and I just feel freaking killing myself. I can't.
Oh, okay,
right?
Yeah, little,
and I was like, I feel the same way when I do crappy, but I don't want to share that with anybody. That I just want to jerk the freaking car into the river right now, you know? So I was like, it was great to know, and it started a discussion with some of the other pitchers. We don't talk about this, but we can't sleep. It hurts to lose.
Yeah.
And to that question, I think it does with the Cowboys, but the thing is, I don't know. They don't act like it at all, but you do try to hide the hurt of getting embarrassed, of doing bad, but it doesn't seem like they're trying to change anything, because unfortunately, you always prepared a little bit harder and a little bit more after you lost or got embarrassed, but it doesn't seem like the Cowboys seem to care to prepare harder or try better after losing. They're like, it happens.
Yeah, now we're finally starting to get a little bit of a hint of it, but I don't know. Can you still capture momentum? I think that's one of the real exciting storylines going into the final 3 games of the season is, has this team really attempted to pull itself up and say, you know what, that wasn't good enough? And I don't think they have. Yeah. So if something is said today, tomorrow in the meeting, Sunday, can somebody get in front, provide that element of humiliation or shame or fear or whatever it takes to rock the collective mentality of this team and give them a chance? because you heard it right here. The Rams had that moment 3 weeks ago. It was embarrassing. Lamar Jackson kicked their ass, and the coach let them know all about it. So I don't know. Maybe the Rams will kick the Cowboys' butt, and this thing's going to happen Sunday night. I don't know. But it is at least a little bit encouraging that nobody's tried to do that.
That's what I was going to say, is that you know we're going to be asking this question on Monday. Can you build momentum in 2 weeks? Because
yeah.
Right now we want to build it in three, but I don't think any of us anticipate that going well. So they're going to need to build momentum in 2 weeks
yeah.
by beating a couple of bad teams.
All right, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Mike brought up a topic yesterday I've been dying to know a little bit more about.
Okay.
Those commercials that we've been hearing with the Cowboys tickets, how rare are those?
I can't recall this, so for our Tolos, we're running commercials that the Cowboys are like, hey, hurry up, go to DallasCowboys.com
yeah.
and get your tickets for this Sunday versus the Rams. And it caught my attention Wednesday. I was like, well, we're running commercials that the Cowboys have tickets still available? Like, that never happens. Usually, a lot of people I talk to, they'll buy season tickets and everything because they sell them for double the price and triple the price, making big money. So it means the ticket brokers and the people that do this just to make money are losing money, because the Cowboys actually have just your regular price tickets available that haven't sold.
Maybe this is something we can ask Mike Fisher about, but I saw, you know, they have 190 consecutive sold out games. It goes back to 2002.
It's almost as good as the Mavs.
And it'll sell out. I mean, I haven't heard anything of like the game could possibly be blacked out in Dallas for Worth.
Man, that'd be a fun story.
Yeah.
How would we know what happened?
And I was wondering this. I don't know the rule either. When you create a 90,000-seat stadium, if you sell 75,000 tickets, is that considered a sellout for the TV audience? Because you've built a stadium so big that they don't expect you to sell every ticket every game?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember hearing the commercials before. But wouldn't 2010 and 2015 have been even bigger disappointments? You know, when you're 1-7 with John Kitnett, quarterback.
Yeah, but the coach hadn't been here for a decade yet.
If it's new, is it Jason Garrett fatigue?
I think it is, too.
Yeah.
And the other thing, too, which is I brought this up to somebody, and it's a great point, is the Rams don't have a fan base. So if you were playing the Packers in the year, the Packers would scoop up the 25,000 tickets in a heartbeat because they have such a strong following. The Rams, the Chargers, they don't have a following. They don't have a fan base to say, whoa, we'll go to Dallas. We'll check out that Arlington. We'll check out that awesome stadium. So I think Jerry always has that built in for a lot of teams. But for the Rams, even though they are in the Super Bowl, there's nobody from L.A. wanting to come here and scoop up the extra. I don't know if it's 2,000 tickets or 20,000 tickets, but right now the Cowboy fans are speaking and saying, we're not going to the game unless we already had tickets.
Man, I just always assumed with that stadium, with, you know, the team being as good as it is at 6-7, there, and Cowboys Nation being as massive as it is, there wouldn't be any tickets available. You know, it's only 98,000 or something like that, and there's Cowboys fans everywhere.
Yeah. But maybe, hey, text in if we're wrong, as in they run these commercials quite a bit during the week of the game, that tickets are available and go to DallasCowboys.com, then let us know, and maybe I'm wrong, but it caught my attention that we're running commercials to there's tickets available for this game.
We'll ask Mike Fisher next. We're live here in our performance showroom, 4131 North Central Expressway. Stop by and sample some of this Balcones whiskey. Enter to win some prizes and more right here on The Fan. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. We're live, 4131 North Central Expressway. This is the big intercom radio building. We're having an open house, and you're invited. Not only is there Balcones whiskey, but there's also a food and prizes every hour.
Yes, somebody already won tickets to the Rangers next year. Somebody already won a big green egg. So get out here and get ready to win stuff.
It's amazing. Okay, so thank you. It's thanks to all the Tolos making 2019 the year of the Fan and the Tolo. Here we go. It's time to catch up with Mike Fisher at Fish Sports on Twitter. Fish, how you doing over there?
He's in the building!
Now you're,
I'm outstanding, boys. I'm heading down to your place, so save me a drink. I mean, a seat.
Oh,
I'll be
a
little bit.
We know how you roll. We got multiple drinks waiting for you, partner.
That's right.
Hey, you want to round table up here on Jerry talking college coaches? That was one of the more interesting headlines from his discussion this morning.
Yeah, let's knock out a couple Cowboy notes. Michael Bennett. He's got a little bit of a foot issue. They do not think that's a concern for Sunday. Sean Lee, exclusive. We reported this morning on Sean and RJ that he probably would not practice today, but that the Cowboys are like, hey, keep the faith in him. Because this is the rare guy. He will not have practiced all week, Sean Lee. He's got a pec problem. He's got a thigh problem. He's still going to go on Sunday, or at least try to. Now, how much gas he has in that tank, I don't know. But they sure could use a good Sean Lee against Todd Gurley and company. Then I thought the other note, before we roundtable it with a bunch of geniuses and then one slappy, me, Stephen Jones was on with you guys today, right?
Yeah. Thanks for telling
me. Yeah, you're welcome. And I was out making you money, Jeff. I'll explain later.
Oh, nice. Good job.
Yeah. And and I think you guys asked him about his belief in Dak and the contract and all the rest. Am I right?
Mm-hmm.
And he, oh, yeah, everything's great. I wonder if this wouldn't have been a better time to say, you know what? We believe in all of our guys. Let's go play the Rams. Rather than give the other side in the Dak Prescott negotiations one more feather in their cap, why not? And again, Steven does this for a living. I just fake it on the radio. But why not say, you know what? Everything's on hold. All 53 guys are on hold. All 20 coaches are on hold. Everybody's on hold. Let's go beat the Rams instead of mamby-pamming around about how everything's okay. Because everything, including with Dak Prescott, is not okay.
Yeah, we were just making the discussion last segment about something Eric Weddle said this week, that it was humiliating when they lost to the Ravens, and it was their coach who stepped in there and you know, gave him a message that was unacceptable. And there's, and you know, very little messages, I think, going back to the players that, guys, you got to get your act together, or, you know, maybe we're not going to be all around, or, you know, something like that. But there's nothing going towards the player in the form of a message that would suggest they got to get it together in any way.
As we just discussed yesterday, it was more of a, in the film session, more of a pat on the back. Look how great you are. Mm-hmm. And we'll see Sunday if that works. Again, we're on week three now of Show Me. Week three of Cowboys Nation doesn't believe anymore. And they have every right to question every guy, including the owner, the COO, the head coach, the quarterback, the whole shooting match.
Okay. And now what about what Jerry said? Did he clearly... Well, I guess he did take a shot at Jimmy Johnson, didn't he? Because Jimmy started a little slow.
Yeah, that gets lost on me because it's funny. And listen, I everybody knows my affection and relationship for Jerry is unbendable. But I thought it was both of them. When they won, didn't they both win it?
No. Jerry won, and Jimmy was trying to come snatch Jerry's credit.
Yeah, he was along for the ride.
Yeah, Jerry won those. He carried Jimmy.
Okay, as Jerry knows and accepts, and as Jimmy knows and does not accept, I've written for 30 years about how they were co-architects, because it's the truth. I don't care what Jimmy's people say. I don't care about the propaganda. I don't care which guy you like. They were co-architects of the team of the decade. And so when they won one game in 1989, Jimmy didn't win one game. They all won one game. So I don't like that we're separating who's the fault and blame. Again, fault and credit and blame, I'm not a fan of that. And then I thought that what Jerry was doing on the subject of college coaches making the jump, I thought he was spitballing. I don't think he was trying to argue or make the point, we're not going to do it. And one of the reasons I don't think so is because Jerry kind of pretended as if there's this overwhelming evidence that the college coach jump to the pros doesn't work. And Jeffrey, there is no such evidence.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work.
If right now, there certainly is a trend in the NFL against that. Of the 32 coaches, without having researched it, most of them didn't do it that way. Right. Okay. 18 of the 32 teams in the NFL today have losing records. So apparently whatever they're doing is not working either.
Well, and the college game is more prevalent in the pro game now more than ever. They used to pretend that the college game was below them, and now the NFL is coming to the realization, actually, we should probably be adopting from them and not shunning them.
Right. So there are no – and I'm sure Jerry knows this. I think he was just having a fun conversation about Lincoln Riley – and then, as we all noted, he voluntarily threw in Matt Rhule. He wasn't even asked about Matt Rhule. He just threw him in. And I think it's smart to throw him in. NFL teams are calling Matt Rhule. I mean, I think they're calling him today.
Well, they should be. Yeah. I mean, consider all of the hurdles to having Baylor be a successful program again with what they just had happen at that school. Like, that was not a job that you would anticipate whoever took that job was going to turn it around, especially that quickly. But he did.
Jeffrey, and when we hear about, well, the Cowboys have a lot of obstacles, and the Cowboys glitz and America's team or the Jones fan or whatever, they don't have more obstacles than Baylor had.
No.
So Matt Rhule, who almost got the Jets job last year, and let me tell you, and I don't know Rhule personally, but let me tell you one of the reasons I have affection for him from afar. Jeffrey, you probably know this. You know why he didn't get the Jets job, right?
I don't remember if I did know.
They told him what assistants he was going to hire.
Oh.
And he said, oh, no. He said, I think he's from New York. He said, no, I'll take the job on one condition. I'm hiring my assistants. You're not hiring my assistants.
Hey, it's me, Rhule. I'm going to pick my own assistants.
Hey! And so he goes back to Baylor and goes and builds Baylor one step higher. Yeah, I have a lot of respect for the guy that says, man, you're my dream job. You're my dream team. You're my childhood team. But nope, going back to Baylor. So that'll
be
interesting.
Saying no to the Cowboys is a lot different, though, you know?
See, the Cowboys, the Jones family has traditionally said, we want you, Coach Blank, but we strongly encourage you to keep Kellen, Colombo, and Chris Richard. And that's not going to fly with Coach Rhule. I wonder who it'll fly with. But I'm glad that Jerry has admiration for both Lincoln Riley and Matt Rhule. They've earned it, and that's good. But what I, in my something less than a study of all this, just kind of my circumstantial evidence, saying that you shouldn't hire a college coach to come to the pros because it doesn't work, that's like saying you shouldn't hire a guy with yellow hair. It might be a trend right now to guys with brown hair, but that's not a Rhule. It's just a trend.
A Rhule. Matt Rhule.
Get it?
Well said.
Old guys, young guys, pastors, avuncular guys, taskmasters, tall, short, fat, college, pro, high school. I don't really care. Can they run a program? Can they teach? And do they fit with ownership? Those are the only three things I care about.
It's Mike Fisher here with us in the Jeep Bag Nation. What else you have, Fish? You have anything on tank? So you ready for a breakout party here the last three games or what?
Yeah, so remember a couple months ago, after Tank Lawrence has developed a great habit, usually on Thursdays or Fridays, he'll meet with the media and he'll cuss up a blue streak, right? Mm. Remember that?
Well, yeah, but his mom asked him to stop.
Okay, well, today he went back on his word to his mother.
You know, I don't think they've played well since he stopped cussing.
I don't think they have either. And we're half joking, but I remember, I thought it was very memorable last year when they played the Saints, and he was profane and profound in talking in this terribly dirty language about what they were going to do to the Saints. And then his team, it seemed to me, obligated to go back up what their leader said. And then Mama Tank said, son, can't you do the media and just be nicer? And then Tank did what his mother said, like all the rest of us do. And so today, Tank went back to cussing, and I'm almost ready to pick the Cowboys to win because of it.
Oh,
almost.
Go ahead. Mike wants your money. Mike's trying to get some action on this.
You already gave a prediction 48 hours ago, didn't you, Fish?
Yeah, that's why I said almost. Cowboys are gonna lose 27-24.
Okay. Oh, Jeff's given me $200-something in the last 3 weeks believing in the Cowboys. I was hoping somebody else would too.
Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Fool me once.
Yeah.
Shame on you. Well,
fool me again.
Fool me twice. Shame on me.
What about fool like four, me. Seven times?
14 times? I start to blame God.
Well, okay.
You would.
That's one way to do it.
After you fool me 14 times, there's something in the milk ain't clean, yeah. As my grandmother used to say. All something right. In the milk ain't clean with your Dallas Cowboys.
Well, we'll catch up with you Monday, hopefully talking about a Cowboys victory, Fish. Have a good one.
General,
yeah.
You're going to catch up with me in 7 minutes.
I'm going to catch – oh, you're going to be here. Fish is going
to
be here.
Oh, sweet. Yes. I was wanting to take the rest of the day off, so you can just take this headset.
You have some Tolo hecklers down here in the Performance Lounge that would like to meet you.
Deal. All right.
We'll see you soon. We'll see you real soon, Mr. @FishSports on Twitter. A must follow for all Cowboys fans. A double insider. We didn't even get to talk to him about Luka. It's another day of Luka celebration.
That's all right.
Here.
Luka's ours. He's not Fish's.
It's a good point. Okay, what do you want? You want some Balcones? You want to sample that? Jeff's been telling you about it for years now. Here's your chance to come by and sample some.
Oh, yes.
And maybe win a big prize.
We have all of it. So get on up here. We got food. We got Balcones. We got beverages. We got station tours going on. We got giveaways every hour. 4131 North Central Expressway. Mike said that if 50 new people show up in the next 20 minutes.
Shut up, Jeff.
He'll sign an autograph.
Wow.
One Look autograph.
Who will be the lucky Tolo?
I said, please tell Jeff to shut up on the air. Oh. I did it. I was waiting for the opportunity.
Okay, that was a good opportunity.
All right, we're coming back with slightly liquored up Tolos here as a studio
audience.
Good.
I thought you were talking about me. I was like, no. I'm good. I'm ready to talk some baseball.
No, that's not till the 6 o'clock hour, right? You're gonna get after a little bit later on, you and Jeff.
We're not really getting.
It's
drunk.
None of your business.
I'm watching
sir.
Christmas Vacation tonight with the family, so drink a little.
The old school one.
Yeah.
Our boss is still here, so I won't answer that question.
All right, I want to talk about D&M Leasing before we get to baseball nuggets. What kind of baseball are we gonna talk about?
Well, I want to go with where the
Shut
Rangers
up,
can go. All right. Fine. We're going to talk the Rangers, I guess. Jeff will do it.
Dallas Truck World has over 800 pre-owned trucks, SUVs, and cars to choose from. They all come with a 7-day return policy for your peace of mind. Check out DallasTruckWorld.com.
Okay, what Dak Prescott has to say going into this game. We have the audio coming up at 4 o'clock. We have Nuggets here in 10 seconds. There's a Tolo back there with that uniform on right there. You see him. He's a season ticket holder to the Cowboys. He said, you guys were spot on with your analysis. The Rams game is the only game this year that he has not been able to get rid of the tickets. Nobody wants them.
Wow, ooh. Okay.
Yeah. The lack of fan base thing. There's no traveling Rams fans.
Yeah, so
in.
I guess I heard maybe the reason that they had to put these commercials out there is because they do give the visiting team an allotment of tickets maybe that they can sell. It's not many, but the Rams don't eat those up. So then when it gets to the week of the game or close to and the visiting team like the Rams say, hey, we only sold, I don't know how many tickets there are, 10,000 tickets. We only sold 3,000 of our four. We only sold four tickets.
Sold one four-pack. The owner wanted them.
And they were in the Super Bowl last year.
The McVay family's coming.
So it might be that then they kind of get returned to the Cowboys, and now the Cowboys can sell those tickets possibly from the Rams that they didn't use.
And here is Mike with your Rangers news and baseball nuggets.
All right, so I get all the anger and what happened yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
It was.
Dude, those callers last night, let them have it.
Yeah, and if you weren't, let's just say right now you're getting off of work and you get home and you don't listen, and let's just say the 6 o'clock hour, because then it's dinner time with your family and family time. We opened up the phones and everybody wanted John Daniels fired and gone. It was pretty nasty.
Like 2013 all over again.
Yes, Ranger fans are very upset, and I'm not going to really be able to change your mind on this, and it's fine. I'm not, like, all excited about this, but I'm going to tell you a guy the Rangers, it seems to be talking to. He's a Scott Boras guy. By the way, Scott Boras.
Let me guess, Babe Ruth.
It is Babe Ruth.
Yeah. Babe Ruth was not a Boras guy.
Trust us, we're in on this guy.
Boras,
he's got something.
With four clients that he's had sign contracts, and he has more clients out there that are going to sign this offseason. It's over $800 million. He gets, in those 9 years, he sees almost $44 million off of those contracts as the agent. And then people don't know this, but Boras has his own huge company. And I don't know, like, football agents and stuff, but I do know baseball agents. Boras is one of the few where if you are a Boras client, you also have to invest in the Boras company.
Ooh,
and so
I like it.
He has investors and everything. So he sees another approximately 10% of that money, too. So he gets 5% for being the agent. But then you invest back like somewhat like 10% of your contract into the company. And they're investing that, too. And they're going to be like, we're going to have a return on investment on that money. Like, they're almost like, you can have another financial advisor if you want. You can have three more if you want. But we're going to also be one of those financial advisors.
Sorry, lights bothered me. Did we turn the lights back up or something? No? Lights are where they are? Okay, cool.
You would be horrible on television because they are super bright on television when we have to do this stuff.
Yeah, if the sun's just a tiny bit out, I have my sunglasses on. I'm sorry. I got my Josh Hamilton thing going.
So let me talk to you about who the Rangers are talking to. He's a Scott Boras client. It's Nicholas Castellanos. He played for Detroit.
You've been talking to us about him.
Yeah, he was traded to the Chicago Cubs last year and just went on a tear with the Chicago Cubs late in the year. He ended up leading the major leagues last year in doubles with 58. He had 27 home runs, 73 RBIs, 100 runs scored, 289 average, 337 on base. So he does not walk a lot.
So the Rangers going to offer him, what, 1 year, $4 million, give or take?
So
say they were right there, right in the mix?
Yeah. So here's the deal with Nick Castellanos. He is, I don't want to say perfect for the Texas Rangers, and I'm being like a little bit sarcastic here.
No one wants him.
Well, he's a great hitter without a position.
Oh.
And we have Willie Calhoun, who's, I think, going to be a great hitter without a position. We have Nick Solak, who I hope is going to be a great hitter. He showed signs to me of being Michael Young-like at the plate. That's way too high of an expectation. I don't want to put that on him, but he looks great at the plate. The problem is there's no position to put him at because he can't play defense anywhere at a major league level. They're going to have to try to hide him, and usually we try to hide our guys in left field. We're already hiding Willie
Napoli.
Calhoun in left field. So Castellanos is a bad outfielder, probably even a worse third baseman, which he kind of came up as. I don't know how he would be at first base, but if the Rangers signed him, they would be signing him to most likely play first base. Now, the contract issue is interesting because what he's done would suggest, hey, he's a good player, but you have to overbid here. He's only 27 years old. There's a possibility that Boris says, hey, he came up to the major leagues at 21 years old. Some of his numbers that weren't that great early on, he came up to the big leagues at 20, 21 years old. So I want an 8-year contract because he'll only be 34, 35 years old when this contract ends. And I bet the Rangers will be out.
Eight for 160. That's what we want.
Well, I've talked to Sandler on the phone. I said, what do you think his contract is going to be, because there are other teams interested. The Rangers aren't going to get lucky and nobody be interested in a dude who hit 58 doubles last year at 26 years old. He thinks it's going to be around 5 for 100. And me personally, if I can get my first baseman in his prime for the whole contract, who's going to give me 25 homers, I'll say 40 doubles. When you look at his other seasons, they're not – he had one season where he had 46 doubles, which was in 2018. So recently he has been very high in doubles in the major leagues. But I'll say, look, 40 doubles, 25 home runs, 80 RBIs, hopefully 100 runs scored. I'll give $20 million every time, every year
right there
to my first baseman. I don't know how great he'll be with the glove at first. Guzman is an A-plus defensive player.
Not a
Unfortunately,
good
he's a very bad hitter. This is the Rangers' problem, is one of their prospects like Guzman is a great defensive player who can't hit, and then we have another great prospect who can hit, but he can't field anywhere.
What about a rule change where you can field the defense, but your lineup is a separate deal? He can play the defense,
Guzzi,
but someone else hits.
Like, we just have multiple DHs.
You have nine. You have nine DHs.
Guzzi plays first. Castellanos DHs for him.
Yes.
I don't know who to put in left field, but Willie Calhoun DHs for that person.
See, now we've got an idea. Now we're cooking with
something. In the name of offense, we need more runs.
Yeah.
Get the TV ratings up.
So, Castellanos, I throw it out there to Ranger fans. I don't know how interested the Rangers are, but the Rangers have contacted Boris. There is competition. You have to win the bidding, especially with Scott Boris, but really with any client. You're not going to be able to get a deal in free agency when a dude just led the major leagues with 58 doubles and the year before he had 46 doubles. So I'm going to guess he gets 6 years. And I'll guess $20 to $25 million a year. I think 25 will be on the high end, but I think he'll be closer to $20 million. And so when the Rangers say they're interested, the Rangers have to present, if they want him, they have to present a 6-year deal at a minimum of $20 million. So 6 for $120 would be if you really want him. And the thing is, he's not going to hurt you, as in he's going to deteriorate on you because of age. By the time this is over, he'll be in his early 30s.
Got a couple of questions here. How's his strikeout situation, and how much upside does he have?
I will say he has a little bit of upside.
Strikes out once a game.
Yeah, so he's a strikeout guy.
Fitting in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
yes.
Strikes out 150 times a year.
He's not a huge on-base guy, which doesn't help out. He is a guy, though, that
that's why he doesn't get $30 million.
Yes, that's why he's in this category of doesn't have a position, can hit, but he does strike out. He would be in the middle of the lineup for the Texas Rangers, and it would solve your first base situation for a very long time. Now, as I go around Major League Baseball, they say, here's the things Richard Justice of MLB.com says has to happen now that the winter meetings are over. the Angels still have work to do. Yes, it's awesome they got Anthony Rendon. We're mad here in Texas that we didn't get him. But if all it is Anthony Rendon, then they're in big trouble and will not be able to compete in the American League West.
Love it.
We're starting to hear, though, that the Angels are going all in. They're talking to Madison Bumgarner, Dallas Keuchel, Ryu of the Dodgers. It doesn't mean they're going to get all three of them, but I bet they do get at least one of them. They are also talking to the Indians about Corey Kluber and the Boston Red Sox about David Price. So right now they're going all in on pitchers to try to now say, okay, we have the lineup.
Yeah.
Now we have to get the starting pitching, and they believe they're going to buy one and trade for one.
They don't scare me. Do they scare you?
Not right now, they don't.
I don't feel like they develop players. I think they're just like the Rangers, except they crazy spend more often.
I do think that they have a good manager now. And then
the Rangers do too, right? Woody's pretty good? Or
not proven. I have no clue.
Not proven. Fair enough.
I mean, Joe Maddon.
We like him, but yeah, he's
Maddon
not Joe
did it with the
Maddon.
Rays. He did it with the Cubs. So I think that if they were to trade for Corey Kluber, which is going to be very difficult because you are right, they are not good at developing. Their farm system is ranked one of the lower farm systems in baseball. So it's going to be very tough to trade for a guy like Kluber. Trading for David Price will be a lot easier. But if they were to trade for Kluber and then to sign Bumgarner or Dallas Keuchel, I would say, hey, that could be dangerous if this team can stay healthy. It says the Dodgers are waiting on a bombshell. It says at this point they're probably looking at the Indians and Francisco or Lindor or Corey Kluber to make a major trade to help out their team. But I said this. I tweeted this out. They got Blake Treinen after I tweeted this out. The Dodgers lose in the playoffs because of their bullpen. They don't lose because they don't have enough offense. They don't lose because they don't have awesome starting pitching. They lose because they have a lead and they have to give the ball to Clayton Kershaw because they don't believe they have two other guys in their bullpen that can get six outs besides their closer. Well, they went and got training. So I get what they're trying to do, and they have the money to do it. But I think the Dodgers, if they concentrate on their bullpen, have a chance to win it all. They just concentrate on the big names and their big-time players because I guess they can. The Red Sox would still like to trim payroll. Obviously, I mentioned David Price. They'd like to get rid of Jackie Bradley Jr. And it does say, or perhaps Mookie Betts. But I think they're going to try to move as much money as they can so they can keep Mookie Betts. Then they say Josh Donaldson, and where is he going to go? And Ranger fans, if you haven't heard, he ain't coming to Texas because the Rangers do not want to give the contract that he is going to get. And then it says after that, the third base market could get crazy after Donaldson signs because then you go into Chris Bryant and Nolan Arenado situations. I mentioned Miguel Andujar yesterday with the Yankees. I would like to get him, but I don't want Andujar and Castellanos, because the more I read about Andujar from Yankee people,
bad defense.
He's so bad defensively that the Yankees know that it's probably not likely he's going to get a lot of games at third base if they keep him. So you don't want to get Castellanos and Andujar and have two guys that probably need to be first base DH type of guys. They did say you could move Andujar to the outfield because he's athletic enough to do it, but we already have a lot of athletic situations in our outfield, or we at least have a lot of outfielders, I will say.
Mm-hmm. Okay, 2 hours down here, GBAC Nation, from our Balconis open house here at 75 and Fitzhugh, our home building here, and you're invited to join us. It's brought to you by Balconis. We have samples. There's going to be some more food delivered.
Yes, and there's going to be giveaways every hour.
Prizes.
And don't tell anybody, but I'm currently enjoying the baby blue.
Look at that. Jeff shooting whiskey over there.
Not shooting, sir.
Okay.
Sampling.
That's very mature.
I'm sampling the baby blue.
You know,
all the
when you get a little bit older, you stop going out and get hammered, and you start, like, enjoying finer spirits,
right?
Well,
he's not old enough for that.
Right.
Yeah, I still make a mistake about once a weekend where I wake up the next day and go, God, you told yourself you weren't going to do that.
It's the same thing. You just use different words for it.
Yes.
You know? Had a few drinks.
Yes.
Stop by for a happy hour.
What do you put eggnog? What's the alcohol you put in eggnog?
Balcones.
I
think it is.
Yeah, it's whiskey. Yeah.
Whiskey, rum.
Yeah. So what you do is you pour whatever the other part is, and then you pour in like 15.
I do have a Balcones from Sandler at home, so I might stop by and get some eggnog on the way home.
Tear it up.
Sounds wonderful. Dak Prescott talks about the solutions to the Cowboys' problems here. Got lots of Dak audio for you on the other side here in the G-Bag Nation.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!